It's March 28th, 2017, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, broadcasting from the Santa Cruz Mountains, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
Oh, I love that part. I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight, as we have many times before, for some conversation about the human condition with all its eccentricities and, of course, what to make of it all, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many voices of Errol Strider.
Hello, this is Errol Strider. I mean, Errol Strider. This is Errol Strider. None of those. I'm not going to. Those are the ones that came to the audition to be a voice and were rejected.
Thank God.
Our show is being sponsored by a very dear friend with whom we've shared this spiritual quest / journey, Jeremy B. Thank you. Jeremy is a fine sculptor. Sculptor in wood. Anyway, thank you, Jeremy. And also from Go Raw, sponsoring us and have since we've started this program over 3.5 years ago from Lupin. So thank you, Go Raw. Go Raw makes food that you want your cake and eat it. I don't know if they make cake, but they do make nutritious food that is delicious.
Raw, not baked.
Right. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, not so fast. Actually, not so fast is the featured phrase of the week. Fooled you. If you're anything like me, you're often in a hurry. Got to get there. Better not be late. Although that's more my wife. Too much to do and not enough time to do it. Now, there are all kinds of reasons to speed along in life, so it seems, but not so fast. Maybe it's a good idea to slow down. There is much to be discovered in the spaces in the middle of all the doing. Not so fast, I can hear you saying. I got things to do, places to go, deadlines to meet. I don't have time to slow down. Not so fast, I reply. On closer examination, you may find that there are not only reasons for slowing down, but actual imperatives. And you don't want to mess with those imperatives. And that's why we're focusing on not so fast tonight. You may find, as a result of our time together, that not so fast will become an ongoing and much needed reminder in your highly pressurized life. So tonight we're going to slow down enough to ponder, but we'll be going fast enough to keep it alive and interesting. Bum. What do you got, Rochelle?
Well, I was thinking, you know, when not so fast is the name of the game, we will not be so fast to judge, to have an opinion, to give advice, to take over. If we're not so fast and we have to slow down, there's more time to receive the information we need to act.
Not so fast. Because
I slowed it down.
Well, that was good. You did slow it down. That was good. I was listening to some speeches by Robert Reich. For those of you who do not know who he is, he was Secretary of Labor, I believe, in the Clinton administration, and he's one of the more powerful voices in calling our attention to some of the real not-so-good things that are happening now in politics. But I was listening to him speak, and I listened to a lot of other people speak. Most people don't stop and take a pause, whereas Robert Reich stops after he says a profound thing.
So it sinks in.
I have it sunk so deeply into my head now. I've got a hole there because he has said so many profound things. He's no nonsense, though. He just says the current president is terrible and this is terrible things, all of that. Okay, we've discussed this, and this is going on in the world. Today I listened to a debate on whether or not we should have a constitutional convention. for the purpose of creating some new amendments. I wanted to amend the Constitution for a personal request that somehow I'm in there. My name is in there.
This is called writer's ego.
I amend it to say that Errol was for the amendment. No, I'm working on amending myself in my life right now. And it does require that I go not so fast, especially not so fast jumping into a conclusion, especially that I don't assume that what I see and perceive and think I know is actually true. I may be mistaken. The more I observe myself, the more often I am, in fact, mistaken. Somebody the other day mistook me for an entirely different species. That was so interesting.
Actually, they were really seeing what's true.
Really?
You are a different species. This week, I've had a cough that has been rather annoying. It seemed like a lot of other people seem to have this cough as well.
And a lot of people are annoyed by it.
Well, no, but they have the cough too. But what it has done is it's really slowed me down a little bit. Because if I rush around, it seems that's when I cough. If I slow down, I don't cough so much. And then I realized that's also the benefit of aging. We're forced to slow down because our bodies just refuse to move that fast. So not so fast is what it's all about. We can see the roses, even if it hurts to bend down to smell them.
That's good.
Well, anyway, you have to be here. You have to be my age to realize that how funny that is. But if you're lucky and you live long enough, you will be my age.
The biggest not so fast that I'm addressing right now is let's not be so fast to bring this civilization to an end. I have been persuaded by several people, and we've talked about this, that it's inevitably ending, as all civilizations have in the past. So I've switched my attention to not trying to keep that from happening, to what's our best task at this point? I believe it's to save and prepare the way for a higher level of consciousness to be part of the foundation of the new society as it emerges out of the upcoming dark ages. And for that, I would like to invite Professor Umbridge to share his perspective on that. Oh, I'm delighted to be here, as always. This is Professor Umbridge. Not so fast. I'm tempted to say to almost anyone who's speaking faster than I can manage their words, which, as I get older, is quite often. And those words are coming in a very rapid rate, and they're hanging on to each other, trying to form sentences and paragraphs in order to communicate meaning. That's why I've become addicted to meaning. Meaning means so much to me. Without meaning, it just wouldn't mean anything. I'm one that likes to have meaning mean something. For example, if I should say something like, not so fast, you would understand the meaning of behind the not so fast, and you might be willing to give it any number of different meanings. Feel free to jump in any time, my dear.
I figure you're going to get to something soon enough.
I'm getting what I'm driving at is that when you stop and communicate and actually savor the word meanings that are coming to you, which you can only do if you're not going so fast. You see, you must take time to savor what you eat, what you see, the moment you're in, your circumstances, your surroundings. And that's why I encourage people not to go so fast.
What I'm aware of is there are some people whose fastness or quickness is so much part of their personality that they perceive at a rapid rate. So what I may have to slow down in order to perceive what they perceive, they get it very quickly and they receive it all very quickly. So I wouldn't tell those people to slow down so much because they're receiving exactly what I have to slow down to receive. I'm aware of that. Do you remember we knew a guy named Oliver who would eat
yes.
so quickly that before I would get the plate next to me, he'd be done with it?
He was a lawyer. I wonder if there was a relationship. Maybe he had lots of lawyer luncheon events.
From one to another, maybe.
He had to eat it down real quick because he had to get to signing the contract or something.
He didn't seem to have any problems with his digestion or anything like that. But he ate so fast that I never saw him eat. No. I saw the food on his plate, and then I saw it empty.
We don't know that he didn't have digestive problems.
That's
I tried
too.
To arrange a meeting in his bathroom.
Oh, you did not.
I wanted to know if he would have digestive problems.
You did
well,
not.
But wait, there's more to the story. When I tried to arrange the meeting, you know what he said to me? Not so fast. I'm not really eager to have people go into the bathroom with me.
Thank God.
That was the case where the application of those three words was totally appropriate.
Not so fast.
Okay, here's a gentle, soulful introduction into the whole concept and possibility of not so fast.
You want it all right now. Let's hurry up and wait. Girl, you're right on time, trust me, you're not too late. I hate to see you rain those mascara tears, but you can't drown in the water beyond your ears. Just don't grow up so fast. You don't Don't you hurry, try to take it slow. You will get there before you know it. Ain't just the bad times, the good times too shall pass. So don't grow up so fast. The world will turn, shadows fall. There's your pencil marks in the corner on the kitchen wall. Yeah, to remind us all. Just don't grow up so fast. You don't wanna know what I know yet. Maybe on paper it looks better. Well, here. Don't you hurry, try to take it slow.
So sweet.
Isn't that a sweet song?
Mother, I was thinking of our children being so much older.
That was an artist by the name of Train. Don't grow up so fast. T-R-A-I-N, like the choo-choo. His mother was thinking of calling him choo-choo, but she didn't think he would do well in school. So she called him Train. This is Inside Out. We're so glad you could be with us tonight, and I want to talk about you, listener, for just a minute, if I may. Nothing personal, but this is going to be personal.
Nothing personal, but it's going to be personal. Not so fast at all. That's more than people can handle.
Really? Where are you on the spectrum of, let's call it waking up, to the possibility that there's an aspect of yourself that is very different from the self you normally think you are. Rabbi, you want to say something about that?
Yeah, of course. You have a self that you're walking around with in the world. And it's like what you're wearing. It's like the self that you think you are in the world is like something you put on. And you've put it on over years with little things and socks and little dingle dangles from your, the hanging from your ego to keep it together so it doesn't come apart. Because its inclination, actually, when it's basic, is to come apart. Because it isn't anything anyway. So what am I talking about? If you're inclined to believe what you think you know, I want to say to you, not so fast. Because what you think you know may not be what is. But the good news is you can actually stop, which is easier if you're not going so fast. But you can stop and you can consult inwardly and see if there's another aspect of yourself that's trying to happen in spite of all your mishigash. Mishigash is the craziness that people walk around with in their heads that keep them from getting to the point where when someone goes not so fast, they actually go not so fast.
Interesting, this concept that Erlis posed and you talked about, the self you think you are. I imagine that throughout our human career, from baby to old being, and then beyond maybe, that self is constantly changing. Even if it's just a concept that we have of the self, even that's changing. It has to change because I know when I look in the mirror, I don't look anything like I did when I was 2 years old. I could swear that's true.
You can't be totally sure, but
no,
I think...
I'm pretty sure. I know I've changed at least that much. Sometimes it's really about making friends or coming into union with a self that has no definition. In the human form, we're always defining ourselves by something, you know, and usually it's physical. But a lot of people define themselves by what they think, and a lot of people define themselves upon what they feel. If you didn't define yourself at all, would you still be there?
I didn't define myself one time, and I was gone. You know how long it took me to find myself after that?
For you, it must have taken forever, because
forever.
You can never find anything.
Forever.
No, that's not true. You do find things every now and then. It's just that you lose them all the time.
When we got to the beginning with the 13.5 billion years ago, when the universe started, as we think, just before then, I was wondering how it was going to evolve like that out of just this little decision. The ultimate starting point was a choice. The universe chose that let there be life. Let there be phenomena. Let there be existence. Right, Father? The universe was just talking there, mighty, and it said, let there be the phenomenon of light there so that you could see around corners and not bump into things.
That's a good reason for light.
Well, that's why they had the light there, because people would be inclined not to know where they're going, and they didn't know who they were. But it's so grand that they created this long-term. Talk about not so fast. I think 13.5 billion years is taking your time. And that's a good message to us as humanity that, you know, there's been a lot of time before us, you know. The little bit of a mark that we might make of ourselves at the very top of this long letter that has the 13.5 billion years behind us, God is here. And you know what? It's not going to let us go. That part of evolution is saying, we spent 13.5 billion years getting to where you conscious beings can get up and walk and talk to each other. And we know you're stumbling and we know you're immature, but we're going to stick with you and help you through these hard times and the good times. And as the fella said in the song, these good times too, these times shall pass.
Yes, it all passes. You know, I finished reading that, but I was reading things that took place in the 1800s when the British Empire really ruled the world. You know, they had that saying that the sun never set on the British Empire. And yet that's not the case right now. And it's only, what, 200 years later?
Not even that much.
Yeah. So the comings and the goings of empires are very short compared to 13 million years.
Billion
years. And yet They keep coming and going. They keep coming and going. Empires. So if we slow down, we could at least enjoy every moment that we have fully, because it passes very quickly.
What I try to imagine is, how was it that there was a beginning? I mean, who said there was a beginning? It's like, okay, 13.5 billion years, but what was the universe doing before that? And because I have this sense.
They weren't recording it, so you don't know.
They didn't record it. That's when history started, 13.5. But, you know, there had to be like eons and eons and eons. I mean, it's so arbitrary. You know, this thing exists, this phenomenon of the allness, and then it comes apart in with this supposedly Big Bang, you know. I think it was like a... I think it was a big fart.
Errol.
No, I'll tell you why.
No, you don't know.
No, well, all right. You don't want to listen to me, Professor.
Not so fast.
Spiegel.
Not so fast to go for the joke.
Professor Spiegel.
His name is not Spiegel.
Schnitzel. That's all right. Some people call me Spiegel, and some people call me Schnitzel, and some people call me Smith. I never figured that one out. But
no, neither could we.
But yeah, I think you are very much describing what's really going on, because if you think about what most of the universe is, that's happening most of the time in most places in the universe, is things are being gaseous and they're burning up. Every one of these stars in the whole galaxy is being gaseous. So you could argue, yeah, that the reason the universe became evolving and bringing in life forms on planets and this and that and the other, and too much other sometimes in my opinion and for my taste. But yeah, it brought it in because it had gas, and it needed to expel gas. And so the universe with all the stars is gas expelling. And you could say that it's like a big fart expelling gases in the form of stars. So yeah, I would say that the analogy is very good, Errol. Well, thank you for sticking up for me. See, he's a professor. He knows some stuff about this.
Oh, God, you really... What is the word? You milked that one, Professor. You milked it good.
I did? Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. Not so fast, okay?
Not so fast. If you want to last, you have got to slow it down right here and now. You're always running round, and now you're about to drown in your own. Your life is an empty shell. You're missing what it's all about. You've forgotten how to smile, and you're gonna end up crying if you don't start to make a change. To slow it down right here and now, cause you're always running round, and now you're about to drown in your own little world.
I'm not so fast. I'm not if you wanna last. Rely on your heart to take you where you want. Let that old heart of yours run out the course. Take it slow.
Take it slow, not so fast. That was Michael Madsen, Christina Dahl, and of course, Spencer. So, he mentioned, you know, change. So here it is. Speaking of not so fast, change comes in. The unexpected comes in, and it's a voice for not so fast.
Like, and it doesn't listen, too.
Like, you'd be thinking you'd go along in this particular thing and with these expectations coming true the way you've imagined it. And then the universe comes along and slaps you on the side of the head and goes, not so fast.
That's right.
And then you go, but I was good. Yeah, well, that boy is close to you. What are you going to do about it? And so each of us has the opportunity to do the thing that's the most meaningful thing of all. To adapt. Would you say that's true, Barney? To adapt. Well, I think I know what you mean, adapt. Adapt is like when you confront something, and like a guy's looking at you, and he's got a revolver in your face, and he's saying, you know, your money, and we want your money, all your money. And you're thinking, I wasn't going the direction of giving this fella my money. He said, like you said there, I was going down another path. And here, wanting my money was a not so fast. You think you're walking down the street here. But this fella says, no, I want your money. So I had the opportunity right then and there to adapt. So you know what happened?
No.
What happened was I held up my hands and I said, you know, it would be better for both of us to be able to move on right now. And I was so unconvincing that he just took the gun and he put it more toward me. And then finally I said, you know, I've never been comfortable in this kind of a situation.
As if you had really a lot of them, huh?
And then I asked him, I said, what about you? Well, you know, you're a hold-up guy. You've probably been held up, you know. How do you deal with it? You know, how do you adapt? And he said, well, the way I adapt is, well, I go try and get some more to what I'm doing now. And so we got into a nice conversation, you know, and by the time he left, with my money, I felt so adapted. I was almost happy about it. Thank you, Barney. That was.
I'm not sure what to make of that, Barney. Not so bad.
You have a way with words and images, Barney, that's very helpful. Really, it is helpful. And what we're evidently needing help with. Let me back up. I was listening to this interview with John, John Michael Greer. Oh, man, how many words had the mind was like searching all over the place trying to find that. And he wrote Dark Age America, and he's the one that basically says, you know, what's the word? We're fucked. Or words to that effect. You know, he basically says, you know, it's too late to do whatever it's going to take to somehow, you know, stop this fall we're making. Now, this is a big generality, and he's talking about it over 300 to 500 years. But one of the comments that he did make that I thought was relevant, he and the interviewer said, you know, people are really not, they don't really think. And he went on to say, people are more scared to think about the future than they are of facing it.
Well, that's interesting. That's very interesting. It's probably because our thoughts are really, we can go to very scary places with our thoughts.
They can go anywhere.
Yeah, they can go anywhere. Yeah. You said it so well once when you talked about, yes, you talked about our thoughts are like the single rider in a wagon train.
The mind. I said the mind.
The mind.
Is the scout in the wagon train.
The scout in the wagon train.
Get the story right, Rochelle.
Well, okay. You're here to make it right.
Oh, okay.
Not so fast.
Yeah.
Accuse me.
Yeah, that's,
you know.
Okay, all right. Okay, not so fast.
Okay.
I get it. All right, go
ahead. you know, that you can go anywhere. You can just, you're on one horse and you're just one person and you can traverse the landscape, you know, easily. When you come back to the wagon train, which is our body and our stuff, you know, it takes a lot longer and it's more cumbersome and has more needs and it slows everything down. So the truth is that aggregates of people will move a lot slower than our thoughts. And so civilization, it's amazing how fast it has grown and become where it is because it's huge aggregates of people that have been moved from barbarism to semi-barbarism.
We're making progress. The next go-around with the next civilization, it'll be three-quarters barbarism.
Right.
We've had half barbarism, then it'll be three-quarters. And then maybe after another several civilizations have come and gone, we'll get to one that'll it's a keeper.
Barbarism will be passé.
Right. Go barbar what? Walters, darling, Walters. So this notion that we're in this phenomenon, which is evolution, context, I would suspect that most of us, in terms of how we look at our lives and engage life, are pretty much just not thinking about any of the things that Rochelle and I are talking about. That it's just what's in front of you, what you eat, what you think, what you feel, what you, you know, just the external world. But there does come a point, and I trust that you who are listening are near or around that point as we speak, where you recognize there is this other dimension, and you're not sure where exactly to look for it or what it's about, but there's something that stirs in your deepest part that's like a yearning for a breath. There's a breath that wants to be expressed that's way deep within you, and it's yearning to come out and to be able to go to life. To really breathe it in and know that I'm safe in it. And that's the key.
Yeah, and that is an evolving thing. I think you have to be at a certain level of consciousness to feel safe in life that doesn't seem safe at all. Because our definition of safety is we're not going to die. You know, we're safe from death. And since death is inevitable, that kind of safety can never be achieved.
It's like fake news. It's fake safety.
Yeah, so what constitutes safety when death is inevitable?
Well, there you go. It depends on who you think you are.
Well, if you think you are an expanding soul or an expanding consciousness, then you're always growing. You're never not growing. You're never not becoming more than you were before.
you're forever safe in the arms of the evolving dimension of who you are, paving the way before you so that you can take your next step and feel safe.
Right.
Boy, there was a lot of words got locked up in that thing, and they were like, some were like waiting, and the others said, no, we're not going to use you, and they were like
not
disheartened.
So not so fast. I want to go back to this feeling of safety. I think that beliefs can play a big part in feeling safe. If you believe the things you just said, and that's a belief, it's a belief, then you will feel safe. If you have no belief other than the randomness of life, I don't think you ever feel safe. You just, you know, you're there's a part of you is always looking over your shoulder, waiting to get conked.
Well, you know, what can I say? But not so fast.
Well, okay.
Not so fast. So fast, baby, now. so fast. I really thought we could last. Baby, don't go so fast. How should I see that we can't be when you make me feel oh so real? Why would you walk instead of just talk to me? Please, not so fast. Baby, not so fast. Why would you leave without glass?
Not So Fast by Melissa Bandura.
Melissa Bandura, you're good.
Yeah, that was a very soft space that she brought me into. To me, music is a wonderful validation of the amazing harmony that the universe is forever seeking and creating. And it goes on these little... Like if you take an octave in music and then you have a jazz thing or anything and it goes away, and, you know, in much of music, especially popular music, it comes back and the chord is resolved where it started. And there's this sense of whoo. And I think that's a hint of the eternal life, that experience that one can have with music where it touches something so deep and so profound and so bright. And yet so fleeting.
Yeah, music is fast, though. Music is not so... I mean, it's not so fast because it's too fast.
I'm not sure I understand that.
You can't make music stop when it's going.
That's right.
You have to go with it. You have to flow with it. It's asking you to go with it. And so if one were to say, not so fast, to that... letting go and going with, then you wouldn't have the experience. So there's a sense where you have to go with it. You can't slow it down. You can't make it different than it is at all. And yet the enjoyment is releasing yourself and becoming one with it.
Yeah, not so fast.
Yeah. So it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's like you can't slow it down. You can't tell it to change. It's going to do what it does, and you got to go with it, or you might as well leave the room.
Okay, let's do a little bit what this music does. It's totally different. Not so fast. Hey, partner. Walking down the lane, stretching your feet sideways into the grass. Not so fast. Looking through the dark alleys and into those old buildings that are lined up around the alley. And a voice says, not so fast. But you're looking, you're hunting, you're seeking the adriftness so that you can find in that expansiveness something that you can fly on, fly with. Not so fast.
Not so fast. Oh, running down the road, escaping the beauty. Those trees, trying to get to where I'm needing to go. Oh, much too fast. I have to slow down. Look at the spaces between all the other spaces so that I can be seen. Not so fast.
Not so fast. Peeking around the mulberry bush, trafficking down street zones, oil-shaped car lube phenomena bumping into you every which way, and you're going zip, zip, zip. zip, 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 going for the ride, going for the ride. And it's a fabulous ride. And so sometimes you get to speed, you get to go fast, and you get to hop along and allow this, like, this song, this music to let us just hop along and dance away the words until we are just set adrift in wonder.
Not so fast. I want to savor the crazy notes as they go bopping along. I want to feel them. I want to get them under my skin and become them. I want to dance the dance to those notes. I want to feel them so much so that I yell out with glee. Not so fast. I don't want to slow down.
And there you have it.
Our improv.
Improv impressions of Not So Fast. And this was from the Hot Club of San Francisco. San Francisco, by the way, is just less than an hour from here. And in San Francisco, you will find a wonderful cosmopolitan example of when evolution is showing off its stuff. As something that's evolving communities and cities, because that's part of its job, and what it seems to do is create all this separate beingness, and then it seems to want to bring it together in these towns, and that seems to be the other movement of evolution, that life separated through agriculture and spread out isn't where the money is. So these towns, so whatever else evolution had in mind, it made that happen. It called people from agrarian life into cities, and then cities started going, things went up. I mean, that was a major change in the whole course of events. Don't you think there are?
Oh, well, I should say so. I mean, it's so interesting, you know, how the cities, because they were small areas, requiring a lot of people to come to them, had to go up. I mean, how else could they fit all those people in? They couldn't spread out because they didn't have any place to spread. You know, they just had to go up. I mean, think of Manhattan, you know, it's this tiny little island, really. It's a very small island. But think of how many people live in it because they can go up.
Weren't we at the Twin Towers once?
Oh, yeah.
And they told us that 80,000 people a day went in and out of that building.
80,000 people a day went in and out of that building.
That's right.
Yeah. I thought you said eight.
No, 80. 80.
Yeah, 80,000.
I was impressed. And
we came from a place that had 80,000 people as the population. So to impress our children, we said, think of the entire place we live going into this building and coming out every day.
I was number 4,375. When I came up,
Errol, not so fast. You were not that much. You were 3,989.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's when I am, and that's the way I have decided to mature myself into the fabric of the nature of the senior Errol Strider. But, you know, he has to deal with me all the time in here because I'm the junior version of Errol Strider. He still wants his niece to be met the way he wants to meet him. Thank you, junior version of Errol Strider. I really needed to just display my laundry out here in front of the people. Thank you very much. We will deal with this in private, please. Thank you.
Well, the nice thing about having the junior version of yourself is you can be in private with it anytime you want.
You may not want to be, and this is
well,
what
you can be,
but
no.
You can be.
Absolutely. I think that this sense of not so fast for me is more about jumping to conclusions.
Ooh.
You know, I think that's one of the things that I find uncomfortable. People, you say X or Y, and they jump to X or Z or whatever. People jump to conclusions when they don't know the whole story. And I think that's the case with the milieu in which we're living right now. People, we're jumping to conclusions. Oh, this is the way it is because this and this and this happened. And that and this and this happening is just a small part of the picture. And yet we've fashioned a whole bunch of stuff over this tiny little part of the puzzle.
And we're getting number by the day. They got us just completely bedazzled in our little technology things. I mean, talk about little robots. Just watch people walking around with these, looking at their phones everywhere. It's a plague, I think.
It's only because we're old.
Oh, okay.
Because I think you speak to young people who use these the iPhone as information. They are gathering information faster than we ever did in our entire lives.
So it's a young plague.
It's a young plague.
Okay.
Well, obviously, we didn't have that growing up.
Okay.
And they grew up with it. You know, it's a plug-in to information and anything you want it to be. But you can plug into it instantly.
I got it. How quickly is that instantly, though, when you say it twice?
Not so fast. I have to think about that.
Okay. While you're thinking about that, I just want to share this image from one of my favorite poems that I ever wrote. It's called Answers Are Timid. And we performed it. I had it illustrated. And I love these little guys. And if you send me an email, estrider@gmail.com, I'll send you a picture of the answer. Who is now posing as my alter ego, Andy Rumi, on my blog site. But here's the line from the poem, and it's just a whole series of stanzas about how answers are timid. That's the running piece. And this particular one says, "Answers are timid, my friend. They're slippery when wet. You can't hold on to them. You must squeeze. Oh, you can't hold on to them. The more you squeeze, squish, the further they go. You must skip along with them on the rocks of the river of truth from conclusion to conclusion."
Uh-huh. I just remember doing that animated.
Yeah. You did it.
Animated,
that's right.
Version, and it was so fun to perform it. Those are just taking those little images and acting them out was quite enjoyable.
Did I mention my email? estrider@gmail.com.
Gmail. Always, I cannot even look at that without thinking of the G-Men. Remember when the, what were they called? The FBI agents were
That's
called
right.
G-Men.
They were.
Why were they called G-Men?
No one knew. They knew it was the last letter of a word, but no one could remember. So they said, "We don't need the rest of the word. Just we know the G. We agree. So let's call them G-Men." And that's how it came about.
They were. What was his name? The guy who was the head of the FBI forever and ever.
Hoover.
They were Hoover's guys.
Hoover, right.
Hoover's guy.
So I want to just come back to the not so fast and feel it with you and to kind of feel into you, listener, and where you are in the not so fast continuum of life. Are you at the no? Have you gotten to the what about have you cranked this? And then into the full-blown, oh, so. And then have you made yourself ready to tack on the F-A-S-N-T? Whew, man, you are fast.
I don't think it's possible to physically slow down. I think what it is important is to slow down our receptors. I mean, not so quick to, not our receptors, but slow down our need to judge so fast or make conclusions so fast. But we can get information quickly. We don't have to slow down our input. But I think what we need to slow down is what we do with that stuff.
Our quickness to judge.
Yes.
I think we could slow that down a lot.
Yes, right. That is definitely a not so fast, you know. You don't have enough facts. You don't have enough information to make that call, you know. I was like, oh, I love when we watch football, and I do love football. And they make a call, the referee makes a call.
Right.
You know, and then they have to replay it. They have to go into a booth and look at it really carefully to make sure that they made the right call. Right.
It's the making of call movement in the drama.
That we have to slow down. That's where it's too fast.
That's right. I want you, this guy speaks just to exactly what you just said. And when you hear him say it, but he does it in the metaphor of, oh, don't fly so fast. But listen to the lyrics. Let me see if I can translate this as he's talking.
Right.
He's saying, in Russia, we slow down because we keep bumping in each other's way. And so we started to drink vodka.
Not so fast. I apologize to all my Russian-speaking friends, which there probably are a lot, that this is not an exact translation, obviously.
It wasn't.
Are you in bed with Putin?
It wasn't exact, but when I talked to Putin,
his bed is getting bigger and bigger.
Just a minute, I'm listening to the lyric. Can you listen?
Oh, you crazy man.
Oh, no, God, you think like not so fast as the beginning of the day. Turn around 3 times and don't think you're so fast. Something like that.
We've reached that point of silliness where things just go boom in the night.
Thank you, Russian actor guy with Russian accent. Thank you for coming.
We have 2 Russians living at Lupin right now.
We do, and a third on the way.
A third?
His wife.
Well, that's right. And it's really fun because one young man speaks English a little more rapidly or quickly than the other. The second one, English is a little slower because it's more new. It's newer to him.
And when he learned it, they kept saying to him, not so fast.
Probably. But I love listening to them talk, and it's really fun. Today, he said that I looked like a Picasso painting, and I wasn't sure if that was a compliment because I thought my nose is sticking out the side of my face or something.
No, you're thinking of Dolly.
Have I only one eye?
No, you were seeing yourself cubed.
Cubed? Was I cubed?
It was your cubism, period.
Right. But
have you tried new cubism?
Oh, God.
New cubism is designed for people who, when they look in the mirror at night, are not sure why they got up in the morning. Well, you try new cubism. And it'll just square up your life, and then it'll cube it, which is why we recommend the new cubism.
Not so fast. Not so fast. Not everybody wants to be squared. That's not cool.
So at this point, I want to remind you, go to our website, thelaughingheart.org, and my blog. God, I got some blogs that are just so bloggy, and they're all dressed up in their big blogginess, and they're so eager to be read and digested. So
juicy.
Juicy. Oh, my blogs are so juicy, and it's at Insight, like our show, Insight. Wasn't that clever? I mean, it makes the same, except it's Insight with Errol. Yeah, dot blogspot.
Because you'll miss me, but yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, you're going, is him? I have to listen to him the whole time. Where is she? That's why I have to tune in, is to listen to her, not to him. Yeah, what does he got to say? Nothing. He just complains.
You don't complain.
No. I'm imagining what I would have thought of myself if I had been a relative.
You are. You're your own relative. And therefore, it's all relative.
And our sponsors, Jeremy Bead. Thank you, brother. And when I think of you, I just think of that. We are sharing this sense of this. We are on this magnificent eternal journey, and we know it, and we recognize it in each other. And I'm grateful for those kinds of people I have in my life, because there's a lot of people who we don't have that shared knowing of our common eternal nature and our unending life and the potentiality for infinite expansion and development.
Yes, we're very lucky. We've had sponsors who at least resonate with what we have to say.
But you can't bring a cell phone. That's the only requirement, is you have to leave your cell phone behind.
When you die?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of people are not going to want to die.
That's right. It's going to keep them alive for a lot longer. And you can reach me at estrider@gmail.com. Good. That was good. I love that part of myself. So let's wind it up here, Rochelle, because we got to move on to the next moment that's going to appear. So given that, what do we need to remember?
We need to remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Not so fast.